How many of you have already reared your children and they're gone from the nest? Would you mind raising your hand? All right. Looks like a good portion of this audience. The second question, a follow-up to the same group who just raised your hands. Is there anyone who would rather have reared your children right now than when you reared them? Would you raise your hand? Out of all those hands, I only see one hand up that would choose to rear children today instead of a generation back. Probably one reason for that is because of the challenges that have come into the lives of every person due to technology and entertainment industry. You think about Peter, Andrew, James, John, not to mention Abraham and Moses, never had to worry about cell phones, YouTube, tablets, concerts, music that would need to be bleeped on public radio before it can even be played. And yet that's the world our young people, our children, are growing up in right now. Some of your grandchildren are growing up in that world. It can be challenging for us as Christians to be able to help navigate ourselves through these tricky waters, and even more challenging to help our children and our teens to navigate through these shark-infested, sin-infested waters that is a part that we're really submerged in. But with God's Word, we can make decisions that will get our children and ourselves not only through the youth years of life, but throughout all of life and to heaven after a while. The Bible is that powerful. 2 Peter 1:3 says that God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So it fits, it works in every generation. So our challenge is to find the principles and to have the wisdom that comes through prayer and from learning from others who are wise and who have been down this road before, how we can make decisions that will be in the best interest of our families. Let's spend some time this morning. I've been researching this because I've been asked to write a chapter, a lecture on it, so I've been spending time considering entertainment and both the pros and the cons, and especially in this class, I want to focus, while we don't have the children in here, I thought this might be a good way, a good part of our study, to anticipate some things that they may have to deal with and be able to talk a little more openly than we would if they were in here. There are so many gadgets and gadgets, and probably the children that will be in this room in a few minutes have something on their person when they come in or something in their hand. Maybe it's an iPhone, maybe it's a tablet, a mini tablet, maybe it's a cell phone. But most every child, once they reach an age, even a young age now, has some kind of an instrument that will play music or videos or will allow them to interact socially with those in a larger circle than they would be able to personally. Let's think about how things have changed. Some of you are older than others of us. Some of you have seen more changes than the younger ones in this class. I think even those of us in middle age have seen tremendous change since we were teenagers. I suppose some of those in attendance today who are 70 or above could say they have seen things that we would not be able possibly to relate to at all. I just want to pick out one thing, how things have changed. Let's just talk about music. And we're going to talk about a larger all media, but let's just talk about music. 1964, this song actually came out in 1963 in the UK, but it did not come to America until January 18th, 1964. It reached the top of the charts by February. It was on the top of our charts for 5 weeks. It really introduced the Beatles to the United States. The name of the song, it was their second hit, but their first one here, "I Want to Hold Your Hand." Let that sink in just for a minute. Do you think a song with that title would be very popular in 2013? "I Want to Hold Your Hand." It was 3 years later, 1967, when the Rolling Stones had a hit, "Let's Spend the Night Together." That's a little bolder, isn't it? The implication is very clear. When they were invited to sing that song on the Ed Sullivan Show, same year, 1967, Mr. Sullivan said that they could not sing it the way it was written. They had to sing, "Let's Spend Some Time Together." They didn't like that, but they sang it that way because they weren't allowed to sing it the other way on television in 1967. I'm not going to be able to read all the titles that you will see on the screen, just for discretion and decency, but I'm going to take us through from 64 to 50 years or so here, and see how things have changed. I'll read some of these. 1972, the Raspberries go all the way. 81, Olivia Newton-John's smash hit, "Let's Get Physical." 1987, George Michael's brazen title that I won't read in public. 91, even worse, from Color Me Bad. 94, 30 years after "I Want to Hold Your Hand," just 30 years. R&B artist R. Kelly has a best-selling single that I'm not going to read publicly. Isn't that embarrassing to have gone from "I Want to Hold Your Hand" to that in 30 years? 99, worse. 2005, even worse, or as bad. 2006, 2008, Katy Perry's same-sex experimentation song, "I Kissed the Girl and Liked It." 2011, Lady Gaga's pro-homosexual song, "Born This Way." 2013, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, same love, same theme as those previous two. Now, this is not the kind of research that you want to do, even to look up song titles. You see how the world has changed in one generation? And those who were growing up in the 60s had a little less to deal with than those growing up in the 2010s. So, let's think about how, as parents, we can navigate through these challenging times and bring up children that will glorify God and will be unscathed by such things as we've noticed in music. I want to emphasize two words that I think are key in child rearing in any generation. First one is protection. The second one is training. We have a responsibility to prolong the innocence of our children as long as we can, and under the circumstances to bring them up to a knowledge of things they will need to know as they are old enough to marry, but in a decent way. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 18:29, David asked the question, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" You put your child's name in that sentence. Is the young man, young woman with your child's name safe? Well, there are a lot of things out there that are not safe for consumption for your child, be he or she 4 years old, 7 years old, 11 years old, 18 years old. Is the young man safe? Part of our responsibility as parents is to protect them from evil, and to not allow them to be exposed, which is challenging because there is so much around them, constantly on television, even the commercials, show more and say more and imply more than they need to think about. Friends at school are exposed even more than our children may not be exposed because of our viewpoint and our holding back on certain thoughts, but in certain experiences, but their friends at school or friends in other places may say things and teach them things that we don't want them to know. So protection, that's the first key word, is it's our responsibility to not be negligent, but to be careful that we hold them away from the world as much as possible, especially in their formative years. Second word is training. We don't want them to grow up having been sheltered and then not to know how to deal with it when they go off to college. We need them to have the basis to make the decisions on this is acceptable, this is not, this is right, this is wrong, And so training, Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9, is a constant process. Not just something we sit them down and talk to them about or put them in a Bible class and train them. It's as you walk, as you sit, as you lie, as you are in your house. It's a constant training process as we see our opportunities. Whenever there's something negative, we point out why this is not acceptable. And we help them to determine, to get some principles that will help them to make decisions when we're not around. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So train a child. We're going to go through 7 rules this morning. And you could take these, you would add to them, you might change them some, but this will give us a good basis to start with. Here's a young family about to bring a child in the world. What are some rules that would help them to navigate some of the things we've just talked about, music, media, and so forth? Rule number one, don't take an all or nothing approach to media. There might be a knee-jerk reaction to so much of what we've just seen and say, well, we're just not going to have any media in our family. Well, that austere position probably will not be maintainable over 18 years. It can, if we take an approach like that, it can lead on the one side, I'll come back to those verses, it can lead to two extremes. One, parents can say, I'm just not going to get involved, a permissive attitude, as though there's just no way that I can figure all this out, and besides, my parents never gave me any rules, and so I'm just going to let them figure it out as they go along. Many people take that attitude, but it's not the same world. If your parents made that decision, I'm not sure that they were as they should have been in the generation or two back, but this is a different world, and children who are 5 years old, 7 years old, 11 years old, do not have the spiritual maturity and knowledge to be able to make those kind of decisions unguided. Permissiveness is not the right attitude. Don't just let them do whatever they want to do, because that's a recipe for corruption. 1 Samuel 3 and 13, 1 Kings 1, 6, Proverbs 19, 18, Proverbs 23, 14 and 15, Proverbs 29, 15, and Matthew 10, 37. All those verses show that a child left to himself is not going to turn out well. You leave your garden to itself, you say, I'm not going to get involved with weeds, I'm not going to get involved with my plants. What's going to happen to your garden? What's going to happen to a child if you say, I'm not going to get involved, I'm not going to make any decisions, I'm not going to put any restrictions on him, or they can find their own? Well, the same thing is going to happen. The other extreme is legalism, as I was touching on a moment ago. In Colossians 3 and 21, we can provoke our children into anger. Ephesians 6 verse 4. So we need to be cognizant of the fact that we need to not just throw down rules, especially as they get older, without any explanation, without any context. When they're young, yes, this is right and this is wrong. We don't necessarily explain it to them. They couldn't appreciate it at a young age anyway. But as they get older, we're training them to be able to make decisions for themselves when they go to college or when they're out with their friends, and also to train their children, our grandchildren later. On that point, I wanted to mention these three verses, Philippians 4 and verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, 1 Corinthians 5, 10. We can't leave the world, we are in the world, therefore we have to deal with the world. Philippians 2 and verse 15, the same idea, that we are living as holy people in an unholy world, and so we have that challenge to navigate holily through a corrupting society. That's not just true of America, that was true of ancient Rome and many other cultures, most of the cultures. That's the first rule. Don't take an all or nothing approach. The better approach is to take an educated, engaged, case-by-case approach. We'll talk about that more as we go through. That is, I'm not going to throw up my hands and say, I can't figure this out. I'm going to let them do what they want to. Or just not going to deal with this and not let them listen to music, not let them go to the movies or any such thing. Well, those two probably are not going to turn out so well. But on a case-by-case basis, we can make educated, fair assessments and help our children to learn in the process what is right, what is wrong. Rule number two, set the house rules. Joshua 24:15 is a familiar verse to many of us, where the Bible says, as Joshua said, as for me and, what was the next two words? my house, we will do what? We will serve the Lord. So Joshua had set some house rules. As for me, I'm going to live it first. I'm going to set a good example. And my house, I'm going to make sure that those who live under my roof, we're going to serve the Lord. So you need to set the house rules at your house if you have children there. As a preacher, my temptation is to be dogmatic on this and just lay out the rules for you, but I don't think that's the wise approach of this subject. Rather, my approach today is to give you some principles so that you can study your Bible and can determine the rules for your house. Let me just throw out some scenarios, some questions. Are you in your house, do you watch R-rated movies? Do you allow your teens or your preteens to go see PG-13 movies? Are you a G-rated only family, or are you somewhere in between? I'm not telling you, I'm not making that decision for you, I'm asking you. That's the kind of decision you've got to make. Our kids never ask to go see a PG-13 movie. They know the answer before they ask it. That's just a house rule at our house, not to mention R-rated. Sometimes we let them see a PG movie, but I study carefully the plot, the words used. It used to be that what is now PG-13 used to be what? The standards have been lowered, haven't they? You got to keep up with that. And it's not as cut and dried as I would like for it to be, where, okay, this movie has this rating, therefore it definitely is or isn't acceptable. No, there's some G-rated movies we don't go see. They pass Hollywood standards, but they don't pass my house rule standards. I mean, such things as teaching disrespect, being a smart aleck. Well, that doesn't get you a bad rating in Hollywood, but it does from in my house. So those same thing with some PG movies that are better than G-rated movies, but that somehow there was something in it that caused the standard to be PG instead of G. Well, that's just one question. Same thing with music. In your house, can you listen to the radio, any station you want to? Can you buy any or download any song? Is there a rule? Is there a rule about that? What about television shows? Is the TV just on? They have a TV in their room and they can flip channels as they want to, watch what they want to. Is that the rule? Or is there, we only watch this channel, or we only watch this program, we don't just leave it on all the time. Those are the kind of house rules I'm talking about. We need to do some thought. In our family, what are we going to, we're trying to rear these children from their age right now through the years they'll be in my house, and then I'm going to send them out ready to serve the Lord, faithful, uncorrupted. How can I do that? Well, this is the best way. And make those decisions in your family. Set the house rules. I like this passage in Proverbs 4, 1 and 2. Hear ye children the instruction of a father. And fathers, we need to step up to the plate on this. We need to have something to say about this. Not put it all on mom. Whatever's fine, you just tell them what you want them to do. No, fathers, step up and be the spiritual guide in your family. Mothers also help, but fathers, don't be negligent. Hear the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Good doctrine. I've thought through this. I've made sure that I'm teaching you, giving you the training that will help you to be successful in life. I give you good doctrine. Set the house rules. That's number two. Number three, do your research. Look at Proverbs 18:13 with me. This goes back to that middle ground we talked about earlier, where you don't say anything goes and you don't say nothing goes, but this educated, middle, discerning middle ground where we take a case-by-case basis. Proverbs 18:13. Same idea is found in Deuteronomy 13:16 and John 7:51, where you shouldn't make a decision without knowing the facts. And that seems so obvious as not even to be necessary to state it. But how many times do we do that very thing? We just make a snap decision and we don't really know the facts about this movie. Let's just say movie. Can I go see this movie? No. Yes. Do you know what's in that movie? What does Proverbs 18:13 say? Anybody would like to read it for us? All right. He that answers before he hears, it's a folly and a shame to him. So don't be a kind of parent that is would be categorizing that verse shameful or foolish. Do the research, number one, in the Bible. We're going to talk about that in the worship in a few minutes. The Bible has a lot to say about entertainment. And I need to be familiar with the Bible first so that I can make good decisions. I don't need to make these decisions based on human wisdom or based on what my family tradition was when I grew up or what my friends allow their kids to do or what my kids really want to do. No, base it on Scripture, on the principles. Be familiar enough with what God says is right and important to be able to then internalize that and transfer it into a different context. You know, the context of the Bible technologically was a lot different than the context today. They did not have to deal with the things that we're dealing with, but the principles of Scripture will deal with any culture and any society. Even the Lord delays His coming another 1,000 years and many new things come along. The Bible will not be outdated at any point. It's not outdated today, but we have to spend some time in it. Just general Bible reading, but especially as it applies to this, to spend some time studying principles about ethics and morals and verses about children. A strong emphasis is given on that subject in the book of Proverbs, as you've probably noticed, in the New Testament for the book of James, very practical epistle. Those are two good places to start. But not only research Scripture, but also research the individual media. I have found that if you just Google parental review and movie title, you can get all the information you need. There are groups, you can subscribe to these and pay a small monthly fee, but most of the time you can find it out for free on the internet if you know what to search for. If we're going to go see a movie, for instance, well, before I ever bring that up to the kids, I'll see what's playing, and then I will go to one of these websites. And it lays it out. Most of them have a grid where, say, violence, 0 to 10, and it'll be, 2's good, 9's bad. And then foul language, same thing. And then if you read down below it, it will give you every word that's used in that movie and how many times it's used. They would talk about thematic elements. Is it okay for... Do you want your teenager to see teenagers kissing in a movie, for instance? Is that okay or not okay? I'm not telling you what your rule should be, but they will tell you if that's the case. And so forth. So do the research. You can do the same thing for songs. I want to download this song. Is that okay? I want to buy this CD. Who's the artist? What's the song? Just type in artist, song, lyrics, and those will come up. And you can study what the words are about, what the song is about. Some things are perfectly acceptable and even wholesome. Some things are not. So do your research. Do you understand the Bible? Also understand the types of media. Before I leave that, though, do you get the impression it's going to take some time to be a good parent? You can't just say, I'm busy, just do what you want to do. You got to love your kids enough to be involved in their lives and to figure out what's best for them on a daily basis, not just in a general sense. Pray for wisdom. Oh, the children that don't have parents who pray for wisdom. 1 Kings 3, 7-12, Solomon prayed for wisdom. He saw himself as a young man who did not know how to lead God's people. And don't we sometimes feel inadequate to be a father, a husband, or a parent and say, I don't know how to do this. Give me wisdom, God. James 1, 1 through 3, we can pray for wisdom. He's promised that He will give it to us. So we should pray. Don't forget to pray. Number 4, consider the age and maturity of the child. It seems to me, and you might disagree with this, but I don't think you would. It seems to me that if the goal is when a child gets to be 18 and goes to college, for them to be self-sustaining, spiritually speaking, to have their own faith. And here you are with a newborn child. You've got 17, 18 years. Well, the goal is by the time they get here, I'm a resource for them. But they're capable of making entertainment decisions for themselves by that point. I mean, your child's 5 hours away at a university somewhere. Their friends are going to a movie. Is she going to go or not go? Well, dad doesn't even know they're thinking about going to a movie. Daughter has to be ready to make that decision, or son, with the principles we've told them. I say all that to say, when you set the house rules down here, when they're young, well, then those are strict. We don't. If there is a reason to discuss one, then we will discuss it. But those rules are set. We don't have exceptions to them. But then as they get a little older, we give them a little bit more leeway. Well, what do you think about it? Would that be good? You think that would be okay for you to see? Why do you think that? And they get a little bit, they get 17 years old. Then they have a little more leash. Unless they violate your trust and you have to pull it back. But you hope that they'll be by that point. So what I'm saying is, stringent to less stringent the older they get, so that they're capable of making those decisions on their own. Consider the age and maturity of the child. Let me just give you an illustration. Say there's one curse word in a PG movie that has a good story to it. Is that enough for you to say, no, I'm not going to let my 17-year-old go see that movie? What about your 5-year-old? You see, there might be a little difference in how you make a decision based on the age and maturity of the child. And you would say, you know, this movie uses a bad word, and we don't use that word. We don't think that's right. You should never say that word. You could talk. What do you think about? Well, you could talk about that. And you might make the decision either way, but I think you see the point. 1 Corinthians 13:11 talks about, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. What that verse is talking about is, spiritually speaking, Paul said, I've matured beyond this, but the principle is there that children are developing. Same thing in Galatians 4:1, children don't, the heir of everything doesn't differ from the servant when he's small, because he's still being under tutors, but eventually he will be in charge of the... Yes, Billy.
Same thing you were talking about, the movies and the ratings.
Yes.
And language and what. These video games are worse than the movies are.
You're right. And I think a lot of parents are more cued into movies because we grew up with movies. And video games we didn't grow up with, and we think, well, this is a game. You know, I played Atari when I was a kid, and they play Grand Theft Auto now, you know. But it's not, Grand Theft Auto is not Pac-Man, is it? So I think you're right. This engagement, I'm not using illustrations from video game world, but we should, and this online gaming is even more dangerous, because then a lot of predators are involved in online gaming world. So you have to be careful that they know not to give personal information, and if anything makes them feel funny, you just shut it down. You don't, and talk to me about, you know, there's a lot of different rules for that, even than, you know, consuming songs or movie content. That's a good point. Number 5, help children learn to discern on their own. I just talked about that, so let me illustrate it, though. I love pears. Do you like pears? But pears bruise easily, you know? So sometimes you'll get a pear, and I'm ready to eat this pear, but there's a rotten spot on it. What do you do with it? Well, you had your heart sitting and eating a pear, you could just eat the whole thing, rotten spot and all, right? Or you could just, it's got a rotten spot, throw it away. Or what's the third alternative? You just cut off the bad part and you eat the rest of it. Well, the same thing is true, I think. You see the point. We have to navigate around the bad parts, but we still can watch a good movie or a television show or listen to a song or play a video game. Hebrews 5:12-14, having your senses exercised to determine right and wrong. is the gist of that. Let's say your child is going to play basketball, never played before, sign-ups here in a few weeks. Is he or she going to be very good if you do not go out with your hoop and teach some fundamentals and practice and do foul shot? Probably not. But if you get started now a few weeks before the season starts and you go out and say, okay, this is how you dribble, this is how you block out, this is how you shoot a layup, well, then they come into the game or come into the first practice, they're a little prepared for it. I think you see the point. We want them to... let me read this verse to you because I want you to see it in your Bible. Maybe you want to underline it because this is true not only of parents, it's true of all of us. We all want to get to the point where we are spiritually minded enough where we can think through circumstances and situations. Now, some of us did not grow up in the church. We did not have an opportunity to have parents that read Bible stories to us or brought us to, you know, vacation Bible school and every week Sunday school and so forth. And so we're sort of at a disadvantage a little bit because we didn't grow up where this was second nature to us. We're coming in a little late on the game, and so now we got to play catch-up. And even those of us who did, there's no guarantee that just because we sat in a Bible class that we got it or that we can figure out that we're spiritually mature just because we grew up in the church. So watch this in Hebrews 5:12 beginning, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Just because I've been a Christian for 10 years doesn't mean that I'm capable of being a teacher. I may have even forgotten what I knew to become a Christian. You see, it's not a given. I've got to stay in the book. I've got to want to grow. It doesn't come automatically. Now, 13, "For he that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe." He hasn't grown any. He doesn't know anything. He really can't be of great service to the congregation because he doesn't know anything. And Christianity is knowledge-based. You need to understand the word to be able to implement it. Now, 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use..." Focus on that phrase. I'll come back to it. "Reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Some things you just don't learn until you get in there and do it. And you talk about rules, principles, but then you engage in day-to-day activities and you figure out, oh, I've seen this before. We dealt with this same thing we dealt with in a video game. Now it's something that we're dealing with in a online role play. And now I feel better about my decisions because I have some history. Made some good decisions, made some poor ones. Now I'm going to make better ones moving forward. So having senses exercised, understanding the consequences, understanding the principles of the Bible, researching each individual thing, then I can come and approach a subject knowledgeably so that I can make a decision that will be helpful and long-term be sustainable. Rule number 6. Recognizing that changing media rules isn't going to be easy, especially if teens are involved. Anybody ever have trouble with a teenager at your house? Don't raise your hand. Any of you ever trouble to your parents when you were a teenager? Probably most of us. It's not a given. Hopefully we do a good job. We don't have trouble. But that's a difficult time because they're getting toward this independent stage over here, aren't they? They're learning and they're beginning to figure out, I'm responsible for my life. And there can be this natural tension that comes with parents and teens who are still in that while they're in that transition. At any rate, changing media rules. Let's just say you become a Christian and you already have kids, you already have history with them with watching anything they want to, basically, playing any game they want to. Now you become a Christian. Mom and dad, well, we got to get this fixed. 15-year-old son, no, I can't play Grand Theft Auto anymore. Whoa, you think that's going to be easy? What do you mean you erased all my music? That's my favorite artist. can't listen to her anymore. All my friends are going to see this movie. It's not fair. Being a Christian, not necessarily easy. Being a parent is not necessarily easy. And we weren't in it to be popular in the first place, were we? But we do want to do a good job. We don't want to alienate unnecessarily and not be able to have a relationship that will help them to get through temptations and challenges. So let's think of a few verses. Some of you would know better how to deal with this than I feel comfortable saying, but I'll give you some verses and you can make some comments if you want to. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Change thinking. And thinking doesn't change overnight, but give a context. You know, this is why I think this is not healthy for you spiritually speaking. A context. Same thing is found in Ephesians 4:23 and Colossians 3:16. Each of those talks about the renewal aspect of the spirit or mind. So as we become Christians and then stronger Christians, we're constantly renewing changing our thinking, which helps us to be more spiritually minded. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be ye strong like men." There's a time to stand up and be counted. It's a time when Dad has to say, "This is a decision that I've made, and it's in the best interest of our family, and no amount of whining or crying or anger or whatever is going to change the fact that I've made a stand, and this is your mom and I are going to stand by the rules that we've made." Now, you may have a question or comment about that. If you have a comment, I'd like to hear it. I'm not sure I need a question about it, but someone who's older who may have been through something like this, what did you do? Yes, sir.
Right. Although we got to keep in mind that the commandment given to us to abstain from the appearance of the
Lord. Good point.
We're also, we have to use that as a goal for that child. It has to be his goal also.
Right.
And we, in our research and looking for this stuff, we have to be very careful that we're not doing what the child is not supposed to be doing.
That's a good point. That's right. I actually asked Luke to look up those song titles for that very reason, because the list that I had only went through, you know, 2009 or something. I said, I need something more current. So I'm uncomfortable. So some things you search, you end up thinking, I don't want to know that. You know? Same thing is true. But I think if you put parental review in front of it, that generally keeps you from ended up in the wrong section. But I think your point is well taken, where it says that we have to set the right example. That's really what Titus 2 verse 7, the next verse on the screen, is pointing us to, that we are to, let me just read it to you. "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." So set the right example first. Now there are different rules perhaps in your family for what adults can see than what you'd want a five-year-old to see. You know, we understand that. But adults should not consume filth just because they're older and understand more either. But there may be some, there definitely is something different that you would want your young child to see that would be appropriate for someone who is mature, a married mature adult. Right. Be your own person. So give them, what you're saying, I think, is give them self-confidence and encouragement all the way through so that they don't feel such a strong peer pressure to be so strong that they feel like they've got to do it. That's a good point. And the earlier you can start, the better. on that. You know, we talk about teenagers changing culture, but it's a lot easier if you start when children, you teach them to dress modestly when they're young. You don't have to unteach something when they go through puberty. I mean, that's a hard time to try to change habits. Start when they're young, showing this is what we want you to wear when you get to be a teenager. You don't even have to say that. They just learn that this is a style. Same thing with media choices, yes. Yeah.
The kid can play a game and you can see it and say that's not for you, or you can look at the back of the game, that's easy. But
sure.
What you're mentioning is setting an example. It's easy for people to get in the car, turn on the radio, and songs that may be banned from the radio station, they'll alter them.
Yeah.
The same message is getting across, and if the parents are listening to it, the kids are listening to it, and there's so many songs out there. I mean, it used to be where you could listen to country music.
Yeah.
But it's every genre of music these days. It's terrible. I remember a couple of years ago, a song came out, and you hear 5-year-olds singing it, and when somebody actually told me what the song meant, I didn't believe it. I looked it up on Urban. There's a website you can go look up, Urban something. I don't remember, but when I actually saw what that phrase meant, it was just blew my mind. But,
yeah. Yeah.